Bible to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want to go over some of our memory verses here tonight and helps of us understanding the progression and flow of James. I'm actually thinking about changing up our memory verse program next year and have given a good bit of thought and meditation to it already, but haven't come to the final conclusions of it all. I want to continue on with scripture memory, but probably not within the book of James. So if your desire is to continue on, I'd encourage you to do so and memorize the fifth chapter. We'll be done the fourth chapter by this coming December. And we thank the Lord for the work that has been done there. I've really asked the Lord in working through passages like this, and especially memorizing passages like this, to help me to see the transitions and the connections. Sometimes, like a verse tonight, look at verse 16. Kind of when you're memorizing it, if you're not knowing what verse 15 says, the verse almost doesn't make sense. It starts, "But now ye rejoice." But when? When do you rejoice? And so there's a connection there to the previous verse. "But now ye rejoice in your boastings also." What boastings? And so again, without the previous verses, which really start in verse number 13, so without knowing verses 13, 14, and 15, verse 16 really doesn't make sense. And so we typically wouldn't just memorize verse number 16 of James chapter 4 by itself. There's a connection and a flow with the previous verses to it. And so I want to kind of talk about that tonight. I want to give us kind of the overview of James chapter 4. It's too late really to do this. I should have done this earlier in our memorization of the passage, but I really didn't give thought to it. And I thought tonight would be really good for us to just simply look at that. I don't have an outline. I didn't give you sheets because of that. I'm not trying to get point one is this, point two is this. I'm just trying to get us to get the overall picture tonight and trust this brief Bible study will help us to understand this chapter better. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and we do thank you for the amazing grace that you have offered to us, that our ladies have sung to us. What a message. It's only by your grace. And Father, how we need it day by day, moment by moment. Father, some are going to need your help throughout this service. They're tired. They maybe have had a full day or full week, and just sitting down, you just tend to want to drift off, either physically or even just mentally. So we need your grace even this evening. Need your grace for tomorrow, to get up and get going and to be a testimony for your name's sake, to have strength to live for you. And so really thankful for the song as it spoke to my heart. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to understand your word better. And Father, forgive us in the times that we do memorize scripture and we really don't even understand what we're memorizing. We're doing it out of the sake of duty, and that's fine. We sometimes are driven by duty, even though the desire isn't there. But Father, help us as well to understand what we're memorizing and be able to put those thoughts together. So guide in this brief Bible study tonight. May we understand the direction of your word and how it can be applied to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I began to look over this chapter and read it and reread it and kind of go back through some of the verses that we have already memorized, I really came to the core of this chapter is found almost exactly in the center. It starts really with verse 5 and goes down to verse number 10, I believe it is. Yeah, verse number 10. And so let me just start with reading that and then explaining to you why I believe it really has become the center, the core, kind of the meat of where this chapter is going. Where it says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" By the way, sometimes your Bible will capitalize spirit if it is believing that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes then it does not capitalize when it is speaking of our spirit. And I think in the context of what we are reading here, it is talking about our spirit, the spirit that dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy. Of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't lust toward envy. And so I believe it is speaking of our inner man, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. By the way, there's two different words for the word resist there. When it talks about the Lord resisting us, he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble, it's actually more of what I might call a temporary word. It's actually a wall that can be taken down, a barrier that can be removed. And so if we are proud, God, in a sense, puts up a wall or a barrier, refusing to give us the grace we need until we humble ourselves, and then that wall immediately comes down. But verse number 7, when we are to resist the devil, that's not to be a temporary wall. We should never take down the wall of resistance to Satan, but that ought to always be up. So we resist the devil and he will flee from you. And by the way, he doesn't flee from you eternally. Even think of the Lord. He left him after the temptations of what would be recorded in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. But then when his hour was come, he came back with a barrage of temptations then. Draw nigh to God. So resist the devil, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So notice in this passage, so key, if we humble ourselves before God, Satan flees and God draws nigh. What a beautiful picture there. You have Satan running from you and God drawing nigh to you. So draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify yourself on the outside first, or as well, and then purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaven. Again, that verse, in a sense, doesn't make sense as it stands alone. We wouldn't just quote this to somebody. Be afflicted and mourn. And weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Wow, what a great way to meet someone in the morning. Have a great day. No, it's within the context. It makes perfect sense. Again, God is calling us to a humbling of ourselves and the benefit of humbling of ourselves. And so when we're proud, we should be afflicted, we should mourn, we should weep, and then allow that to be turned, that mourning be turned then ultimately to joy in the end. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up, it says in verse number 10. Now, James is instructing these people who used to be part of his congregation. James was a co-pastor with one other gentleman who also wrote a New Testament book really close to the book of James. Somebody know his name? What was his name? Peter. And so, good. So, Peter and James co-pastored together. Where was their church? Somebody whispered it because they're not very confident. It was in Jerusalem. Thank you, Seth the Whisperer. I don't know if it was Seth whispering or not, but I know it was Seth answering. Yeah, they pastored. They co-pastored in the church of Jerusalem. And if you remember back, now you might not know this or may not remember this, but there was a persecution coming to that church. They weren't fulfilling the Great Commission of going first to Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria and the uttermost. They went to Jerusalem and stopped. And so the Lord allowed persecution to come to begin to force them to leave Jerusalem. And they went out into Judea and Samaria and there were scattered into the wilderness. Now, at that point in time, the apostles remained in Jerusalem. So there were now these Christians, because of persecution, who were scattered into the round surrounding regions, and they were really struggling. Man, they lost that church family. They lost the fellowship they had. They lost their businesses. Many of them were separated from their families. And now for years, they had been in these wilderness and these remote areas, and a few of them here and a few of them there, and they were really feeling the burden of going through this elongated trial. And so James is writing to them. They were formerly part of his congregation. And he's writing to them. And what he's saying is, you need to humble yourselves. Now, that may have not been what they wanted to hear. But look at why he's saying this. Here they are, they're scattered, they're not fixed together in a church body. And look at some of his instruction. Let's just look at the opening five verses. From whence come wars and fightings among you? So there must have been, they weren't getting along. They were no longer in the church family, but they're not getting along with each other like they should have been. He says, well, why are you fighting? Where is that coming from? Come they not hence even of your own lust at war in your members? Isn't this your fault that you're fighting? Aren't there lust or desires on the inside? Look what he says in verse 2. Ye lust, and have ye. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And he's again pointing to these specific problems in their life. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world... So there were two things going on. Number one, they weren't getting along with fellow Christians. Actually, there's three things going on. The second thing going on is they're not asking properly from the Lord what they need. And then thirdly, they're getting along with the world. So wow, what a terrible picture to be in. They're not getting along with their brothers and sisters in Christ, but they are getting along with the world. And so he's identifying, wow, you all have become very proud. You need to humble yourself, and that's when he gets to that, then beginning in verse number 5 and carries that out, the portion that I've already read earlier. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, desires to have what others have, and so forth. And so again, there was that battle going on in the inner man. Jump down to verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Why would he say, don't speak evil one another, brethren? Because they were speaking evil one of another as brethren. James had to, again, hit the mark here. They're fighting and warring. So again, as we were memorizing the early verses about your striving against each other, and that comes because of your inner man, and he kind of goes back to that in verse number 11, speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother, and it continues that on into verse number 12 as well. We've already memorized those verses. And so, I want to now get to where we are in the memory section now. Again, if we were to memorize it as a section, it would begin with verse number 13. It would go to the end of the chapter in verse number 17. And I want you to look at the memory verse we had tonight. We are just starting to learn this. This is a new memory verse for us. I thought, wow, we sounded really quiet when the section on the left, which included me, was said to read through that. I was very tentative. I had already forgotten what I already knew. The middle got a little bit louder. Over here got a little bit louder. Good job on the right. And then we ended really good because it's a short verse. It's already sounding familiar to us. Look at verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. Again, pride. All such rejoicing is evil. All such rejoicing is sin. Pride is sin. Remember the center part, the key part, what I thought the whole chapter was? Humble yourselves and draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. So, in this, there's something that they're really boasting about. Let's pick that up beginning in verse number 13. And again, this is where we're going, verses 13, 14, 15. I'll pull it together. We'll tie it together, verses 16 and 17, and we're done for the night. Look beginning in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He says, I want you to pay attention. Those of you who say, hey, I'm leaving today, or maybe I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'm going to go, and he doesn't give the city because it could be a number of places. And what we're going to do, we're going to go there for a year, and we're going to buy things, and we're going to sell things, and we're going to make some good money. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know that you're going to end up in that city. You don't know that you're going to be able to buy, sell, and get gain. You don't know you'll be there for a year. For what is your life? is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Job speaks to this as well. We are like sparks going upward. Have you ever admired a good fire, a good campfire? And you see that, maybe the plume of smoke that goes up, that you look and after maybe sometimes 20, 30 feet, depending on the evening, you can't even see it anymore. Then you admire those sparks flying upward, but only for a couple of feet, and they're no longer a bright burning spark. And that's how Job likens life. And here he says, you know what, life's like a vapor. It appeareth for a little and then vanisheth away. He says, you've got all these plans, not realizing life doesn't always last that long. You know, sometimes we really presume upon the grace and the long-suffering of God, and sometimes we plan as if we have forever. In fact, I like what David says in Psalm 103, he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. And the idea, the flower blooms and then sometimes within 24 hours has faded away totally. And so he's warning them, you have all these plans, you're going to do this and that, but you don't realize and you don't even recognize the sovereignty of God. You just have this plan, hey, we're going to go into a city, buy, sell, get gain, and we're coming home. By the way, if you think this works well, you ought to talk to the Heisies in their ministry with the gypsies. They face this on a regular basis. And when I speak of regular, it happens multiple times a year. For the gypsies, they typically go to Spain. And their desire is to go to Spain, make some money, and they say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go there, get rich, send money home, come back after a year, and we'll be able to live for a year or two on the money that we make from Spain and other countries around, sometimes Hungary and so forth. And we're going to make all this money, and then we'll come back and live for a year or so, and then we'll go back and make some quick money a while. Number one, they usually never send anything back. And number two, they almost always come back broke. It's part of being a gypsy. It's part of their lack of good character. Typically, a gypsy gets paid on Thursday and has already drunk it all away by Saturday morning. And typically are begging for money by coming on late Saturday. And when I talk about their drinking it away, is that the hard liquor? And most of them don't see the totality of their paycheck beyond 24 hours. It's gone. Forgetting that their family needs clothing, forgetting that their family needs food, and they merely quickly drink it away. Again, what he's warning about here, they've gotten into this mindset, and remember, they've gone through persecution, and they've lost their businesses, and their families are divided, and so their idea, hey, let's go make some quick money. There's a little bit of gypsy mentality in these Christians that James is working with. And so what is his warning to them? For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I think Pastor Terry already brought out, he was already kind of applying that to his life. And again, sometimes we'll say, hey, Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday. Or Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday or whatever it may be. And again, what is that? What is James really instructing here? Live with the mindset of God and that God's in control. It's not wrong to plan and say, you know what, we really as a business would like to see our business go and do this and do that. But we ought to be thinking in this way, hey, if the Lord allows and if this be the Lord's will, this is what I'd like to do. This is what we ought to do. And it automatically brings us then to prayer. And so as Christians, we shouldn't be just living our lives based on our whims and our desires and so forth. We ought to be saying, you know what, if the Lord wills, this is what my plan is and this is what I'd like to see happen. And again, what are we doing? We're humbling ourselves, which is the center of this passage, and recognizing the authority and the sovereignty of God over our lives. So, but now, you rejoice in your boasting. So right now, you're not doing that. You're all caught up in what you're going to do. You're all caught up in the money you're going to make. You're all caught up in the year's plan that you have. You're all caught up in going to this city or that city and buying and selling and getting gain. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. And he says, all such rejoicing is evil. That's sin. And so really, as the memory verse we started on tonight is just getting to the point of, if we are making plans without considering what God has for us, that's pride and that's sin. And so we need to stop and consider that in our hearts and minds. Again, making plans without considering the authority of God upon our lives. And let's look at the verse then we'll memorize next month. Therefore, to him that doeth knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He's saying, now, you know what to do. You know how you ought to be speaking. You know how you ought to be looking at life. So to progress from this moment forward without considering, hey, if the Lord wills, we'll do this, that's sin. Do you remember the little verse found in the book of Numbers about be sure what? Be sure your sin will. Now you know what that sounds like. Be careful what you do, because your sin's going to find you out. And we might use that as a warning to our children. We might use that as a warning to our mate. We might use that as a warning to a friend. We might use that as some kind of warning. Hey, you watch out, because your sin will find you out. And what we're really talking about there is God can expose what sin we're involved in. But you know, even in the context there is failing to do what God has commanded us to do. So we would say there are sins of commission. Those are things we commit that God doesn't want us to do. And there are things of omission, things that we omit from our lives that God wants us to do. Do you remember the tough passage it is to read in Romans chapter 7? Paul says there are things I should be doing that I'm not doing, and things I'm not doing that I should be doing. Do you remember that passage found in Romans chapter 7? That's talking about sins of commission and sins of omission. The sin he's dealing with here, and the sin that is being dealt with in Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out, is knowing you should be doing something and you don't do it. So that's what James' admonition is ending out this great book, or ending out this great chapter. Listen, now you know. And so from now on, include God in your plans. God is a sovereign God who will direct your lives, and you don't know how much time you have. Life is but a vapor. So consider God in your consideration. So let's back up here. Let's read it together. Zach has us do this from time to time, and I love the way Zach has handled this throughout our last couple of years. Let's start in verse 13. Let's read to the end of the chapter. We're going to stand and close with a word of prayer. Let's begin reading together. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell to get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For yet ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now, all such is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. How many of you already know verse 17? Raise your hand. You already know. Okay, Zach, do you see all those hands now? When we get to next month, just call them. Just call them. Put your hand up again if you know verse 17. So again, I think it helps when we understand these verses to memorize them. I think it also helps to understand it, to apply it. And this is where I feel like I failed in shepherding with the memory verse program. We've tried to get you to know what it says, but not sometimes how to live it. And this is what we need to be working on more in the year to come. Let's stand together. Let's have a closing word of prayer. And again, then I'll meet with the men upstairs soon after. Enjoy some fellowship together. By the way, it's great to have Matthew Urey here. Been a friend of our family and a brother to Seth for many years. So that's Seth's younger brother. Also great to have Gordon visiting with us. He was here at the Fall Fellowship and enjoyed some fellowship out on the Ultimate Frisbee Field. And good to have him here. Good to have you here. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us with this. We do plan a lot of times without taking consideration, and that's pride. We don't even stop to consider what you want and what you would allow. And sometimes, especially as men, we get plans together. We want to make money. We want to bring things, make things happen. And sometimes we just, in our own pride, we fail to recognize your sovereignty and who you are. Father, help us with that. Help us with our thinking. We need you. You said you can bring things back to our remembrance. And we've already memorized that verse. We need your help bring it back to remembrance and beginning to apply. And if you will, this week, there are various things I have in my plan. If you would, and if you'd allow, we want to head out on our trip on Thursday and enjoy some time away. And so, again, may we recognize your sovereignty. And people are planning their businesses. Reg Kays and us will be meeting tomorrow night to plan the next year's calendar. Again, if you will, what do you want us to do in the upcoming year? We don't want to just fill a calendar full of church events and expect that to minister to the church. We want the events of this church calendar to help us to grow and help us to build relationships and help us to become stronger and more effective Christians. So, Lord, allow us, according to your will, to put things in the church calendar that will be beneficial to the body. And I just pray you guide us. Give us wisdom. Give us direction in our business places, in our personal lives. Bless in this night. Thank you for the time that we've had together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, ladies, if you would like some of the books, they're down here and available.